Our scripture reading tonight will be from Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verses 16 through 18. These 6 things the Lord hates. Yes, 7 are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil.
Tonight I just want to review a little bit of what we looked at this morning, some of the concepts that we looked at this morning, and then share a couple of passages in Proverbs this evening as opposed to passages from Psalms that again remind us of the dangers that we can run into if we allow ourselves to fall under the influence of those that are mischievous or those that would want to cause mischief. And I really just kind of want to go back very quickly and look at what we looked at this morning as far as the ideas of what does it look like. I want you to think and I want you to see what a mischievous person looks like. And it doesn't look like someone necessarily that's just sitting and laughing and having a good time with their friends. I don't want anybody to leave here this evening and think we can't laugh and have a good time as Christians, because we can. What I want us to realize is, just like there can be a right way and a wrong way people worship God, there can be a right way and a wrong way to tell jokes. And that's what I really want you to think about, is getting to think about whether or not what I'm doing is something that falls under this category of playful or malicious annoyance, or the categories that we'll be looking at, such as the tendency to continue to tease, vex, or annoy someone. Is it causing someone hurt, harm, or trouble? If I say this and I think it's funny, and my friends might think it's funny, but it's at the expense of someone else, is that something that I should do or should say? Because would I want to be the one that everybody makes fun of in order for them to have a good time? Would I want to be the guy that everybody looks at and says, yeah, I really enjoy having him around because he gives me somebody to laugh at and make fun of? I don't think any of us want to be that person. I don't think any of us would want to feel that way. So why would we put that on someone else? Also, the idea of causing injury or evil to another. And the idea, again, of being a source of trouble or a difficulty. Being a difficulty for someone can be many, many, many things. Being a difficulty for someone may be that person that I was talking about this morning when we asked the question about if a young lady says, is this too short or not? And you say no, even though they question it. Now we've become a difficulty for them because we have allowed something that they question and something that they're unsure of for them to go ahead and do. And we don't want people doing anything that they feel is or could potentially be wrong. I don't want to help someone who's feeling uncomfortable go ahead and do something that they might think isn't such a good idea. That is not beneficial to them. That is not helping them, and it can be a trouble for them. We could also be a trouble or difficulty to somebody. The examples that we have of the idea of the meat that was offered to idols and whether or not a person should be able to eat meat. It's the example that even though there's nothing wrong with the food in and of itself, if it's something that can be a trouble for somebody else, what did Paul say? Paul said, I'll never eat meat. If it's that important, even though I know nothing is wrong, but if it causes my brother or sister to stumble, I'll forego it. Because their soul is more important than my taste. And so it's something that we need to think about. Just so you know, the other advantage this evening, there was no way to do this lesson and this morning's lesson together. It would have been one really long sermon. So instead, you get one regular length, and we'll probably get out of here a little bit early tonight. So for those that aren't here that say that I speak too long, sometimes they're missing out on the opportunity to catch something that's a little bit shorter and a little bit more, hopefully, to the point. That being said, obviously, I'm not going to read every single one of these scriptures. I do want you to go ahead and be either writing those down or be taking a copy, or we are trying now to send copies of the slides out to those that would like to have them. If you don't want them, you can delete them. That's not going to hurt my feelings. I'll never even know if you just delete what I send to you. But I want you to be able to have this material because I want you to have it on hand so that you can study it on your own and then be able to present it. Because you're not going to be able to all the time, you should be able to a lot of the time, but you're not going to be able to all the time say, ooh, I just got started in a class with someone and I need you to go ahead and read those verses for this study and let me put you on speaker. Not always going to be able to call me and say, Rob, do it for me. Because that's a part of my job as an individual Christian, but that's a part of your job as an individual Christian. I'll help you if you need it, but you should be able to do these things on your own. So let's look at just a couple of these scriptures that can help us out. Let's go ahead and start with the first one there, Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verses 14 through 19. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Don't even enter into the path of those that would be wicked. If you see it, don't be swift in running to mischief, as we see God sees as an abomination, but go the other way. Can you imagine? This says there are people out there, and if we believe the Bible is true, then we need to believe this is true. There are people in the world today that can't sleep unless they've harmed someone. Stop and think about it. Isn't that what he's saying? They can't even sleep at night unless they've had the opportunity to harm someone, to cause trouble for someone. They just haven't had a fulfilling day without taking somebody down. Do we want to be that kind of person? Do we want the people that we know of to be that kind of person? Do we want anybody to be that kind of person? We want to teach them otherwise. Let's go ahead and let's jump to Proverbs, the sixth chapter, and let's look at verses 12 through 15. It says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. When his calamity comes, when the mischievous calamity comes, it will be swift and it will be sure. If they haven't turned from what they've done, they're going to suffer the punishment. And it's swift and it's sure, and there'll be nothing that they can do, or if we're in that situation, that you and I can do to change it. Let's jump to Proverbs chapter 16 and look at verses 27 through 30, and then we'll move forward from there. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 27 through 40. Again, I'll leave those up for just a moment. The Word of God says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him into a way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to divide froward things. Moving his lips, he brings evil to pass. You can move your lips to bring about evil. That's what we've been talking about, isn't it? We know in James it talks about the dangers of the tongue. We can do and say a lot of things. There's two ways we can be mischievous. We can speak it and speak mischief and cause it, or we can act it. And we need to be careful in how we're acting. I'll sum it up actually with Proverbs 28:14. It says, happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Okay? We've talked about acting mischievous toward others and how that's a negative action toward others. Do you want to fall into mischief yourself? Do you want to be on the receiving end of mischief? If you harden your heart, then you're going to fall into, and what are some of the other words that have been used in these passages? Falling into wickedness, falling into calamity, falling into things that you don't want to fall into. That's looked at as a very negative thing. What I really want to do is spend just a couple of minutes this evening looking at the question, what about teasing other people, or the famous, I was just kidding, at the end of a statement? Well, let's look at what the Word of God has to say in a couple of different passages. I will read both of these. Go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and let's read verses 1 through 11. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, says, "Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting," and then saying, I was just kidding, foolish jesting, foolish joking, "which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Verse 7, be ye therefore not partakers with them." So not just yourself involved in this mischievous activity, but don't partake in it. Don't go along with it. Don't do it because you're a kid and you want to be part of the crowd. Don't do it because you're an adult and you want to fit in. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Don't get involved. As a matter of fact, reprove those who are doing it. When you see somebody acting mischievous, when you see somebody giving somebody a hard time, when you see somebody kicking the back of somebody's chair on the bus, ask them why. Tell them it's not a good thing to do. Why are you doing this? Don't just let it go. Number one, don't involve yourself, but as far as being involved in the activity. But number two, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you help teach them that this is wrong? Don't do it hatefully, but clearly, people that think it's okay to intentionally just bother other people to make themselves feel better need someone to talk to. Right? They clearly haven't been taught, or they clearly don't understand what they should be doing. So they need someone to help teach them. See it as an opportunity. Now go to Matthew, the 12th chapter, verses 32 through 37. And this is a very interesting verse to me and a very convicting verse to me when you look at some of the phraseology that he's going to use. Matthew chapter 12, verses 32 through 37. Word of God says, "And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Or you as an individual are known by your fruit and your actions." Verse 34, "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things." Look at verse 36. When you're asking yourself, if I need to classify my statement with, I was just kidding. Look at verse 36. This is the big one. "But I say unto you, that every idle word," some say every foolish word, "that you speak, but I say to you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." When you speak a fool, as some scripture says, you're going to give account for it. You're going to stand in front of God and you're going to have to answer to why you said that about Nathaniel when there was no reason to say it. Right? You're going to have to answer for everything that you say. And I mentioned we see in the world today there's a phrase that says there's just a little kernel of truth in everything that you say. Isn't it interesting that Christ teaches that what comes out of your mouth comes from your heart? So, when you're putting somebody down, when you're wrongfully talking about someone, is that really, is there a piece of that in your heart that that's really how you feel? You ever stop and think about that? You ever stop and think, maybe that really is how I feel, that there is a little bit of truth in my mind that's being generated? It's a scary thought, isn't it? That's why we have to stop and think. Again, there's a right way and a wrong way that we can speak to others and that we can joke with others. We need to be careful. Verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. Hey, that's great. When you say good things, you'll be justified before God. But the flip side of that is, as we continue, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Is just kidding enough justification to say something evil about someone else? Something to think about. Lastly, Luke the 16th chapter, sixth chapter and verse 45. This same thought says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, or out of the abundance of his heart, the man speaketh. When you are with people, when you are speaking with people, stop and think about what you're saying, because what you're saying generally proceeds from the heart. Ask yourself, do I have a heart problem? Do I have a heart problem? If I do, I need to get it repaired. I think about the physical heart problem of that young baby, Truett, that's had to go through. He's had a heart problem. He's had to go to the doctor and he's had to get it fixed, right? It needed to be taken care of. In the same manner, if I have a spiritual heart problem, I need to get it fixed. I need to get it taken care of. I need to get it corrected. Because just like baby Truett could potentially lose his life because of his heart problem, we could potentially lose our lives spiritually because of a heart problem. So we need to make sure that we take care of it. And I told you by looking at the clock, we're going to get out of here early. What's the conclusion, though? What's the importance of the message that we're looking at? I believe we've seen once again this evening the importance that Scripture puts toward actions that can be looked at as mischievous. This time we took information from the book of Proverbs. We've also looked at the idea of teasing and idle words and found we need to be careful in what we say because what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the thoughts of our hearts. Important to try to justify our teasing with the popular phrase, just kidding, just isn't enough. It doesn't cover it. And if you have to cover up what you've just said. You know, everybody that says, I was just kidding, they're admitting that what I did was wrong, and I've got to kind of cover it up a little bit, aren't we? I mean, isn't that really what we're doing? We're saying, I know I've said something I shouldn't, so I'm gonna fix it by saying I was just kidding. You've already shown that you believe you've said something wrong. So stop and think, and don't say it in the first place. And then you don't have to worry about it. So it is for us to heed the warnings that we've found from both lessons this morning and this evening, and we need to beware of the influence of mischievous, and we need to be willing to help correct the people involved. It's not enough to just recognize that somebody's doing wrong. We also need to try and help correct them of that wrong, don't we? Because we haven't done them any good if we haven't tried to help them. That's the lesson for this evening. Appreciated your patience both this morning and this evening. Again, as we close out this hour, if there is anything that we as a congregation can do for you, we would invite you to come forward and make that known while we stand and sing.